I didn't know if you wanted to put that parsha in.
Okay. So this week is Parshas Shmos, and so I wanted to discuss.
It's me.
You can pass them around. I wanted to discuss a topic that comes up in numerous places throughout Tanakh, but it comes up in this week's parsha. The idea of kishuf, the idea of sorcery, and the Torah perspective on it, which actually has important halachic ramifications. We find in a number of places in the Torah, the source one is just one example of that you can't consult or you can't be engaged in all types of sorcery, wizardry, what have you. And the Torah concludes, Tamim tiyeh mashem alkecha. So it could be also a positive commandment to be tamim, to be pure and simple about these things. The Rambam writes in Source 2, and this is where we get the connection to our parsha. Dvarim ha'elu kulan divrei sheker v'chazav hein. There's no such thing as magic or sorcery. Right? All these things that the Torah warns about, it's not because they're real, but because they're not real, and that's exactly why the Torah says to stay away from them. And other Rishonim, I have here the Ran, who is one of the later in the group, but the Ramban and the Mukhi Yosef and the Ran, they all say that that's not true. We have so many Gemaras that talk about people engaged in forms of sorcery or wizardry or magic or whatever you're going to call it. And so really the way to understand the prohibition is that these kochos, these forces exist in the world. Not that your average magician can do them, but there are people who know these kochos, they can do them. And the Torah nevertheless said to stay away from them. You're not allowed to engage in those acts, and you're not allowed to consult with them, because it says, Tamim tiyeh, Hashem Elokecha. We should be simple, we shouldn't think about these things. So that's the machlokas between the Rambam and the Ran and the Ramban and many other Rishonim. The Shulchan Aruch seems to follow the Rambam. The Shulchan Aruch is Mishnah Noshcha Akra Mutu Lucha Shalav Afil B'Shabbos. This is quoting directly from the Rambam. Vavo Pisha Eino Davar Moel Klum. Right, somebody was bitten by a scorpion, and there's some wizard who could help them. You can go to him on Shabbos, but just know that it's not going to do anything. And the only reason why you're allowed to go to this guy on Shabbos is because the Chola thinks that it works, so it's going to help him psychologically. But it's really just, you don't need to go to this guy. You can go to anybody who's going to do that. And the Gra there in Siman Kuf Ayin Tes says, this is the Loshon HaRambam, Ava, Kol HaBoy Machar, Chok HaLov, and everybody disagrees. Harbei lechashim nemru b'gemara. There are a lot of these types of cures written in the Gemara. V'hu nimshach achar hafilosofia harura. The Rambam followed the philosophers, the evil philosophers, and we do not. I didn't quote the whole language. He has very strong language against the Rambam on this particular point. So we have a machlokas between the Rambam and the Ramban, the Ran and the Mukhi Yosef about this issue. This plays out in a few different areas. I'll just to highlight a few here, and let's just think of these two shaylas together. Okay, the more common scenario is, somebody's in some sort of has some sort of illness. The doctors are either they're doing it, they're not. They're, whatever the doctor said is either working or it's not working. It's not working, or it's not working as well as they would hope. And now they want to go to somebody who's doing some heebie-jeebie kind of stuff. And is that mutter? Is it permissible to go to this sorcerer type of person who could potentially claims that he can save their life? A permutation of this, which is not—it's not the same case, but the same a lot of the same discussions. Somebody asked me this question once. They had a person had a cleaning lady, babysitter, whatever it was, and this cleaning lady, who was not Jewish, decided that the house that this person owned was haunted, spooked, whatever it was. And they wanted the homeowner to pay a few $100 to bring in a witch doctor to get rid of the demons, whatever, in the house. So is it mutter to pay money for such a thing? You know, from the homeowner's perspective, it's they don't believe any of this stuff, but they needed to come up with the money in order to keep this person on their employ. So is it mutter to give money for this, knowing that that it might be kishim? So we'll keep those two questions in mind. I'm going to focus on the first one, but the answer to the second one will emerge from this discussion. So can a chola, can somebody who's ill, hire a sorcerer to perform sorcery or to try sorcery in order to heal a person? And we're talking here about a non-Jewish sorcerer. So the Trumas HaDashen says he thinks that consulting the sorcerer itself is not an isser. The isser would be to perform the acts that the sorcerer does. So you're hiring a non-Jewish sorcerer. He quotes the Gemara. There's a machlokas in the Gemara in Sanhedrin on Daf Nun Vav Mabez, whether Kishuf, whether Bnei Noach have to follow the laws of Kishuf or not. So the Trumas HaDashen says, we paskin that Ben Noach does not have to follow the laws of Kishuf. So from the non-Jew's perspective, he's allowed to do whatever he wants. But the issue is, and so there's no Lifnei either. The issue is, Tamim Tiyah Mashem Elokecha. That this is not the thing, it's not what Jewish people do. But he says that since the person's a chola, so a chola is allowed to violate kol isurim shebetorah. They can violate any iser. So if it was kashrus, he'd be allowed to violate it. So why can't he violate? Tamim tiyah m'shem elokecha. The Marshal disagrees. The Marshal says that he thinks, according to the Rambam, it's not just the act itself that's usher, it's the whole belief system in the thing. So if you hire a sorcerer to perform acts of sorcery, so that would also violate the isser. It's not just lifnei iver. And then he says further, you know, you can't come into this chola, meaning chola's mutter mishum pikuach nefesh. Why? Because the Rambam doesn't believe in the whole thing. So how can you say that... How can you say that it's mutter mishum pikuach nefesh? You're allowed to violate an isser shebet Torah. You can't violate an isser shebet Torah unless it works. So you can violate Shabbos to save a life if the particular act you're going to do is going to save a life. But if you know for sure that it's not going to work, you can't just violate Shabbos. I'm going to light a fire. Maybe the guy will get better. No, it has to have some proven or some reason to think that it's going to work. So according to the Rambam, that the whole thing is Narishkeit, of course you can't violate any Isurim to save the person's life. Whereas according to the Ramban and others, you can make the argument that if this person, this sorcerer, has some sort of established credentials or has shown some sort of efficacy, then it would work. The Mishkanus Yaakov, Yaakov Kaliner, presents a third approach. He says, let's go back to the Gemara that says, the machlokas about whether a Ben Noach is allowed to engage in sorcery. So what is that machlokas about? So if, meaning there's only Shev Mitzvah Ben Noach, maybe there are more, the Gemara is entertaining that, but if there is an Isser of Kishuv for a Ben Noach, what would it be based on? The fact that sorcery might be a branch of Avodah Zarah, so a non-Jew can't worship Avodah Zarah, so you can't be engaged in sorcery. So if you hold that, then you can't have the non-Jew engage in sorcery, and you yourself can't violate this for a Chol HaSheish B'Sakana. So you can't come up with the Chol HaSheish B'Sakana heter if it's Avodah Zarah, because Avodah Zarah is not Motu Mishim Pukuch Nefesh. So if you hold sorcery is a branch of Avodah Zarah, you cannot violate the Yisr. Whereas according to the Ramban, or actually he doesn't tie it into the Ramban, you could say this is goof for the issue between the Mechalkas Rambam and Ramban, but
so if it was Avodah Zarah, how does it work Tamim to you?
No. If it's Avodah Zarah, you can't violate Isurim because of Pikuach Nefesh. If it's not Avodah Zarah, so then you could say it's an Isur Shebetorah, and you're allowed to be Docha Isurim Shebetorah for Pikuach Nefesh. That's the Mishkanus Yaakov's analysis.
How is it not Avodah Zarah?
What?
How is it not?
How is it not a Avodah Zarah? So I thought that instinctively you'd say that's what the issue between the Rambam and the Ramban is. The Ramban says there are these forces out there that are in the world. Maybe we don't nowadays don't know how to harness them, but we're told to stay away from them. For the Rambam, the whole thing is right. It's in Hilchos Avodah Zarah. It is Avodah, meaning that's what it is. It's part of a belief system that's out of bounds. So, but I don't think the Mishkanus Yaakov says that. But that's instinctively that's how I think I would have analyzed it. And the last issue I want to discuss in the last 5 minutes The Rambam in, and this, well, we'll see. It seems to be consistent. The Rambam writes that if you skip about halfway down, Ma'onin Elo Ochez Ochzeinayim. What's a Ma'onin? Somebody who seizes the eye. So what is that? V'hu min Gadol. Minatachbula, mechubar elav kalosatnuah. That's sleight of hand. So people start seeing things that they don't really see. And what's his example? Kemo shemar osi yasatamid yikhu chevel v'yasim osa beknafing them. He'll take a rope and stick it in his shirt, and out comes a snake. Okay, that's this week's parsha, or maybe that's how the Rambam certainly understands this week's parsha. Or you throw a ring in the air and it ends up in somebody's ear, something like that. So it sounds like the Rambam, if you read the Rambam on the surface, it sounds like you can't be a magician. Stage magic would be usur, according to the Rambam. So the Radvaz points out that this might be contingent back on the machlokas we discussed. Meaning, according to the Rambam, the only way to understand magic as a whole is it's all fake. So, of course, if the Torah prohibits it, so then it makes sense to fit in under that rubric. Whereas the Radvaz thinks all the other Rishonim disagree and say that no, Ochzeinayim is doing something supernatural. We don't have people who know how to do that nowadays, and that's permissible. So the Chachma Sadam, and followed by the Ravad Yosef and Yechav Adas, followed the Machmir approach. They say that the Rambam says you can't be involved in stage magic, and it is usur, and there's no heter, and that's their position. However, other Achronim take a more lenient approach. Rav Moshe, this is a tshuva that was published posthumously, but apparently Rav Moshe wrote this tshuva, and he says that if everybody knows that there's no real magic going on, and everybody knows that it's sleight of hand, so it's not as problematic. So he says you have to make sure that the people in the audience know that it's not real magic. I'm not sure that that's a given. You know, there are a lot of people out there who really think that these things are happening. But Rav Moshe would say, if you're going to hire somebody like this, you should at least explain to the audience that there's no real magic going on. The Divrei Yotzev, the Kloisenberger, follows the Radvaz. Radvaz, again, like we said, most Rishonim disagree with the Rambam and that the Isser is not in sleight of hand, but there's some other supernatural thing that's what the Isser is based on. And then Rabbi Tzal Stern in Betzel HaChachma says that even the Rambam, I mean, it's a difficult read in the Rambam, but even the Rambam, he's not talking about what we do, sleight of hand. He's talking about using illusions. I mean, Ochzeinayim means causing people to see things that didn't actually happen. Not the other way. Not to take something and hide it and then pull something else out. That's not what the Rambam is talking about. The Rambam is talking about, you know, moving your hands or creating optical illusions in a way that people actually see things that don't exist. So that's where he thinks that would be a problem. That's not what, you know, what we normally have when we have stage magicians. So that's another heather. So we discussed, just to sum up in 2 minutes, Machlokas, the Rambam, and the other Rishonim. The Rambam holds that there's no such thing as magic, and so all the Yisurim in the Torah might be a branch of Avodah Zarah, and furthermore, they might be they're more rooted in making it look like magic as opposed to performing actual magic. Whereas the Ramban, the Ran, and the Mukhei Yosef hold that there is this koach out there. We don't necessarily see it, but it's out there. That's what the Torah prohibits. And the Nafka Minas might be in terms of using a sorcerer for a chole, for somebody who's ill, or for stage magic, sleight of hand type tricks.
Okay. Those are South African flower, huh?
Yeah,
that's
from South Africa. Would there be a problem?